Well, good morning. Last week, James, the overarching theme for me personally from last week was trust, right? We trust Him. James is going to lead us right up to the edge and right over a cliff and right up to a car, and then He's going to make us turn. James being God, right? And he mentioned that, you know, for the next 4 weeks you're going to hear four different speakers. And it's kind of neat to really see what the Spirit's saying to the body of at large, this local body. And last week for me was trust. This week is surrender. I think the worship set kind of signified that. A little. So here we go. And for me, really, it's you're just going to get to hear my heart. I mean, I don't have some, you know, great whatever. It's just I'm a heart guy, and that's what you'll hear. The gospel has taken on different shapes and sizes for me, I guess, and I liken it to, Francis Chan has a saying, it says, don't ever forget, it's God's party, but you've been invited. And I've always liked that saying, it's not about you, but it is so about you. But it's God's party, don't ever forget that it's God's party. But don't ever forget, you have an outstanding invitation to this party. And the gospel was presented to me, and I'm going to try to reference to a party. You have a birthday party. Everybody loves you, right? You are God, and your party is the gospel, okay? Everybody wants to come to your party. But the gospel to me, this party that I had an invitation to, was presented as your grandmother's going to be there. You don't want to miss out. If you don't go to this party, then you're going to burn in hell. Which are all true. My mama's definitely going to be there, and I want to see her. I don't want to burn in hell. It is real, and it is hot, and it is a place. Don't ever forget that. And that was my motivation to go to this party, is because I was afraid not to go. Really. And that was the gospel that was presented to me. In the last probably 15 years, the gospel of this has been the overarching theme. Dude, you need to go to this party. She's going to have a mean cake. There's blessings at this party. You don't want to miss it, because you're going to get all your dreams fulfilled. Great cake. Music's going to be off the hook. It's going to be a party. You need to be there. You don't want to miss it. Which are all true, right? There are blessings in this life that blows our minds, right, that we get to walk in. True. And we get to partake of all of those things on life now. But the overarching theme of my motivation has to be the last one. I go to this party to honor her. Plain and simple. Yeah, I love you. I know you're going to have a really cool cake. It's going to be really good. I hope there's caramel on it, because I really like caramel. But the reason that I exist, and the reason that we all exist, the reason I go to the party is to honor the Creator. That is the overarching theme that He's trying to get me to. He's our reward. I mean, this last song, or the two, I don't know, pretty much all of them kept running through my mind. He has to be our reward. It's the reason that we exist. And I gave you a bunch of scriptures, but I don't know that we'll use any of them. I'm sorry. It's been kind of crazy. And I'm kind of glad it's just us, and I'm just going to sit down probably and just talk. Because really, trust is big. Typically, when I have opportunity to speak, pretty much throughout the week, I don't know, Spirit just drops stuff in me, and then I kind of get a theme of kind of where He's going, and we roll with it. And by, you know, Friday, Saturday, you know, I've got notes, and I've got little highlights, you know, and I'm all on it. But, dude, Then you ain't got squat. I told Krista a while ago when I said, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. But I know surrender is one, because that's what he taught me. So I get up early this morning, I go for a run. And the Lord, I don't know, sometimes for some reason when I run, I guess my mind is idle. I mean, it's not thinking, right? It's not, I got to do this, I got to do this, I'm preoccupied or something. But he speaks to me when I run. And so this morning it was surrender, surrender, surrender. So when we get to the place to where we trust without no qualms, right? I mean, we're going to go right up till 11 o'clock or whatever time it is, and I ain't got nothing. But I'm going to trust you, Lord. I guess you're going to say something. So this is what he's going to say, I think. He's our reward, plain and simple. It's the reason that we exist. In Romans, I think it may be 6, 10, 11, somewhere around in there. It's really referring to sin, right? And it's one of those things that we've got to get dealt with right from the get-go. We're dead to it. How can we continue to live in sin when we're dead to it? We don't sin. We set the bar, and this is me, pretty much my whole life, is I am a sinner. I'm going to sin. I remember praying it as I was growing up and a deacon. God, you know we're going to sin. Forgive us before I even get there. I mean, that was my... And I don't know why I didn't know Romans 6, 7. I don't know. Because nowhere in there does it give you the privilege or the access to continue to live in sin. Nowhere. But we have to give ourselves to it. It's just like, I believe without a doubt that he paid for my sin. He paid for my healing. Now, do I see everyone healed that I pray for? No. But that doesn't mean that I don't continue to press into that, because I believe throughout Scripture it shows us that we can walk in divine healing. Do I live without sin? No. But it is the bar is not here. The bar is here. Because if it were not so, he wouldn't have put it in there. I mean, why did he says to be holy as I am holy? Without holiness, you won't see the Lord. So, I mean, those words are not just on a page. It's just to tickle us or to make us, it's like, no. I mean, we live a holy life. Now, what that looks like, I ain't got quite figured out yet, but we're on that journey of it, right? I mean, we don't have the liberty to dabble and to deal with, you know, I can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. No, we don't give ourselves permission to even go there. And I'm dead to that. I'm dead. Not going there. So that's settled, right? So this whole bar of the gospel continuing to grow in me and my experience in it is, to begin with, it was, yeah, I'm just going to wake up and try not to sin. I'll go to church on Sunday, and I'll go on Wednesday nights. That's going to prove my dedication to the Lord. And it's like, I'm picking it, today is your day, I'm so sorry. You play soccer, so you know. So here it is. We're shooting for the goal. And I mean, it's a penalty kick. Let's say this. It's a penalty kick. Those of you, well, if you don't know soccer, I'm sorry. But anyway, it's soccer. You kick a ball and try to put in a goal. Someone's defending that goal. So you're trying to kick. I mean, you're trying to make a goal, right? So in the process of you running up and kicking the ball, they move the goal. That's what the gospel was to me. And is still. It's like, okay, I have this idea of, I'm going to wake up every day. I'm going to live without sin. I'm going to try my best to not sin. That's my mentality. I'm going to try not to sin today. I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to go Wednesday night if I'm really spiritual. And that was the gospel. That proved my devotion to him. Period. I mean, and that was it. But in the process, that aim was moved for me. And he expounded, and it's like, that is included in the gospel. Don't misunderstand. That is part of the gospel. It is. But in the gospel of getting to a place of sheer honor, my devotion to him, and time of intimacy, is the goal. That is the aim. Paul talks, I think it's in Timothy, I mean, the aim of our charge is to love, period. And guys, you know, I mean, that's where we've been for a while. It's just love, and everywhere I go, it's like, God, I mean, is this not enough? I mean, can we move on to something else? And it's like, no, you can't, because you haven't got this figured out just yet. Philippians 1:9 says this. It says, this is Paul in Philippians. He's praying that my love, your love, would grow to such a place that a pure, unadulterated maturity. And from that place of our love, abounding yet more and more, depends on what translation you read, growing to a place to where you have now all spiritual insight into all things. Do you need to know something? Then the way you understand or begin to understand, the way I begin to understand, is for my love to grow. It's not I'm aiming to have spiritual insight. My aim is love, and then spiritual insight comes. It's kind of like seek first the kingdom and all this stuff will be added to you. We kind of get it out of whack sometimes, and we go seeking the food and all the shelter and all the clothes and all the stuff without seeking the kingdom first, and we kind of get it out of whack. But it's love growing to such a place to where spiritual insight comes. And that spiritual insight that you get from that, if you read the Passion, his footnote says this, that the insight that the Spirit reveals from your love growing to such a place brings with it the ability to walk out what insight reveals. There's no excuse. He has to become my reward. And that is the only reason I exist. Romans, I think I was going to say this to begin with. Romans 6, when he's talking about the sin, and it says, hey, we just go there. Y'all want to? Romans 6. I think, what? Let's just read it out of this. This is Passion. Y'all all right with the Passion? Don't be laughing. My glasses broke last night. You see that one leg that's kind of jacked up? Congratulations. So when I stand like this, and that's all right. I don't care. I'm not here to impress you. What was I going to read? Romans 6. Let's read this. This is why you exist, I think. Well, no, it's not even what I think. It's just what the Word says. So it has nothing to do with my opinion. Romans 6, and I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go back to, we'll start in 7. And this hope, no, man, see, we're going to go back to 6. Romans 6, verse 6. Okay, could it be any clearer that our former identity... Hey, do you have that? Everybody's looking up. That's cool. So, you know, I did tell you that one then, maybe. No, I didn't. God, I'm sorry. She's quick. She's fast. She said she couldn't fly with it, but she does. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now forever deprived of its power? You're dead. Right? We're a brand new creation. We've been born again. If you're a believer and you put your faith in Jesus Christ right now, you are a brand new total creation. The old is gone. It's dead. Has no power. For we were co-crucified with Him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to the power of sin. So it's pretty obvious, right? Sin has no power on us. I mean, even I can figure that out. And I got a general diploma from Ramburn, Alabama. That's it. I mean, it has no hold, so we have to consider ourselves, Scripture says. Some translation, consider yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin. So we're dead. So that's old and done. We're not even going back there anymore. We're not going back there. Verse 7, obviously a dead person is incapable of sinning, and we were co-crucified with the Anointed One. We know that we will also share in His fullness of life. Okay? Fullness of life sounds like a good party. Fullness of life, good party. And we know since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, His resurrection life has vanquished death, and the power over Him is finished. And its power over Him is finished. For by His sacrifice He died to sin's power once and for all, but He now lives continuously for the Father's good pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Here's your purpose for being. So let it be the same with you. Since you are now joined with Him, you must continually view yourself dead to sin, unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Why do you exist? To bring Him pleasure. Pure, simple. It's not to be the best wrestling coach. It's not to be the best worship director, leader, whatever you do in life. Now, does it include that? Absolutely. But somewhere along the line, we get our priorities so jacked up to where this life consumes us. I've been surprised in me how much culture influences me. And it kind of makes you mad, or it makes me mad. It's like, God, Marty, come on, man. That we get so consumed with life as we know it. And it's all good stuff. Kids, football, basketball, worship, being the best usher you can be, the security guy you can be, all those things, which are good things. But it's not our reason for being. And it can never be elevated to a place that's the reason we exist. The reason we exist, period, is to bring God pleasure. That's why you live. So what is life? It's not in your Christian life. It's not to come into this place, which is an awesome place, and do your deal, and man, you know, I've succeeded. I've checked that box off, and now I can just live life, not doing anything wrong, not living in sin, but just doing your life. And that's jumping over the hurdle that's about this tall. And he didn't. Todd White says this. I don't know if, anyway, Todd White. It's the life you're living worthy of the price he paid. Not a shame and condemnation kind of guilt thing. Not that. Not anything to do with that. God's not into that. But it's the gospel. I mean, Scripture does say live a life worthy of the gospel, right? Living a life worthy of the gospel is pursuing Him. I mean, he prayed it all morning. It's pursuing Him with everything that's within us. And it's in a place to where nothing else matters. Yes, I'm going to be a school teacher. Yes, I'm going to be a secretary. Yes, I'm going to be in nursing. Yes, I'm going to be in education. I'm going to do all those things. But the what motivates me is Him and Him alone. I think it's, hey, we would read that one too, talking about motivation. God, look at that. You see them glasses? Come on, Tolson. I started to say about your birthday party, but I didn't. We're not going to your birthday party. Hey, let's go to 2nd. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2. No, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's verse 14, and I'm going to read Passion again. How about that? Says this. You got, I snuck this one on. I told you we probably weren't going anywhere. I told you we were going. But it's okay. And I'll just go ahead. But it's, for it's Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for all of us. This means all have died with Him, so that those who live, here's where it gets tricky, should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him. Man, we just made a bunch of... Hey, we're going to go to Mark, too. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you this one either. We're going to go to Mark 8, because when he said, follow me, it's like, God, you know, just Scripture start coming up to your mind. So, it changed everything. Well, and it's still all about surrender. We want to follow you, right? We want to follow, and it was about follow. I'm going to follow you, I'm going to follow. Here's what following Him looks like. Jesus summoned the crowd. This is Mark 8:34. Jesus summoned the crowd along with His disciples and had them gather around. And He said this to them, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. That don't sound sexy, does it? You should completely disown your own life, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender. There's that word surrender, right? God, That Holy Spirit man, he's got it going on. He works it out. Experience it for your own as you continue to surrender to my ways. For if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continue to experience true life. That's just true life. You get gratifications from grandkids, sports, living life, getting a Jeep. We got a Jeep. I'm trying to make it look like James's. And all those things are, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, but it's not the goal. It's not the end. And it's not just trying to survive and make it through this life and doing the best you can, your 70, 80, 90, 100 years while you're here. You have a purpose while you're here. I mean, this Holy Spirit, say, I don't think I quite get this Holy Spirit thing. You know, I don't care where you grew up. I don't care if you grew up the most Pentecostal something that, hear my heart. If you'll go back and read Acts 8. And this is what he's teaching me. Marty, you have no idea. I'll go back to right when COVID hit. I thought I had the answers. I was sick of everything. I was sick of the politics. I was sick of our churches attacking each other. Why are you shutting down? You shouldn't be shutting down. We're going to wear a mask, not wear a mask. I was sick of it. I was sick of people's opinion. I couldn't figure out why you didn't think like I did, if you really want to know the truth. And I'm probably may say something now, maybe I don't get in trouble. Sid may never ever say, Marty, dude, you can't speak in this place no more. But this is what happened. I was in Tallapoosa, Georgia, painting. I was sitting on the floor painting. I had been thinking about how some of y'all, well, probably all of you, Bible scholars. Is it Balaam? Balaam was the dude that rode the donkey, right? Was it Balaam? I think. It's Balaam. So I was thinking about Balaam, right? He couldn't see the angel of the Lord, but the donkey could. And it's one of those things that sometimes the Spirit drops stuff in me that's so quick that there's no doubt that's the Spirit, right? And then there's sometimes that the Spirit's kind of like, and I'm thinking, is that really you or is that me? Is that me thinking or is that really you thinking? And I've come to understand, no, it's the Spirit, Marty. I mean, if, and I think it's maybe in Philippians somewhere toward the back about rejoice always in the Lord, think on these things, if it's pure and lovely and holy and all those things. If what you're thinking lines up with all those things, then why not, right? I mean, just go with it. That's why I went up to, so anyway, you just have to act on it. Maybe it's not work out, but you just go with it. So it's one of those things. I was sitting down painting, and he dropped this in me. Marty, get your head out of your ass, or you're going to miss what I'm doing right now. Because I was thinking about the Balaam and the donkey. Balaam couldn't see. God talks to me that way. I'm sorry if that's offensive to anybody. But I needed it. Because I have friends, ministry friends, that were beating each other up. It's like, God, why don't you think like I do? I've got the answers. We don't have to attack each other. It's okay. And that's what I wanted to scream. But it's like, Marty, if you don't get your head out of the ass, I'll say that, maybe that's, you know, because he couldn't see, Balaam couldn't see, and that was me. I was so clouded by all the distractions that I couldn't see what God was doing right in the midst of where I am. It's like, okay, so that changed my perspective. So for the last 5 months, I will continually say, okay, Marty, get your head out of your ass and get with the program. So that's kind of where I've been. So in the process of all of that, it's like he's continually moving the goal line. He's moving the goal. He's changing it up on me. And it's like going back to that Acts 8, and I was just kind of reading through the passage. And Philip goes down to Samaria to preach. This is after Pentecost. Philip's going down and he's preaching, right? People are being born again. Signs and wonders are going on. Things are off the hook, off the chain. Things that we would, you know, like to be a part of. And Philip was a magician. And he had a crowd following. I mean, people in Samaria thought, this dude has got God's power because he's doing all these magic tricks, right? Philip's preaching. He comes to know the Lord, right? So Philip's born again. I'm sorry. Philip's preaching. Simon's born again. So he follows Philip everywhere he's going. So he's seeing all these signs and wonders. And the Bible says along, y'all just have to look. It's in Acts 8. He said he was amazed at the signs and the wonders that was being done at the hands of Philip. Then the next paragraph, Peter and John comes down because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been baptized into Christ. They'd been baptized under John's baptism. So Peter, all the elders, they send Peter and John down to Samaria so they'd receive the baptism of Holy, or receive the Holy Spirit. Peter and John comes down, prays for them, lays hands on them. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I'm throwing that baptism. But they receive the Holy Spirit. This was his response. This is Simon's response. He's willing to pay for that. What he just witnessed, he's willing to pay for. I'm not saying his motives were pure. His motives were, as you go on, you're talking about speaking truth in love. Scripture says speak truth in love, and we kind of sometimes take out of context so we can slam people. But this was Peter speaking truth in love. He tells Simon, I see then you're in gall of bitterness. You've got some stuff going on. You have no part of this. Dude, you are so jacked up. But get Simon's response. Simon's response is, pray for me. He wasn't prideful. He walked in humility and says, pray for me because I don't want any part to do with that. I've been amazed at these signs and the wonders. I'm willing to pay for the Holy Spirit. His motives were purely wrong. But one thing that the Lord's showing me, someone with Down syndrome, right? Or someone that's physically handicapped. If they come in this morning, we lay hands and we pray for them and they get up out of the wheelchair and walk off, you would be amazed. If Casey comes down and we pray for her to receive the Spirit, which one of those two are you going to be most amazed at? That was my thinking. I thought, I'm going to be amazed at this cat right here gets up out of the wheelchair and walks. That's what I'm going to be amazed at. I mean, I would. But Philip saw something. Simon saw something different. He correctly, I think, this has nothing to do in Scripture, I think he correctly saw the value of Holy Spirit living in us. More so than someone coming up out of a wheelchair, signs and wonders. Now, I'm all down with signs and wonders, and we're going to press into that, right? But I'm so down with me not really understanding just who it is that's living in me. It's going to empower me. Acts 1:8, we all know it, right? We receive power. You know what? We're power to be His witnesses. We testify to Him is what we have power to do. It's not for glout. It's not for check me out. I can lay hands on folks and they heal. That's not it. That's not the power you get. You read the Passion. It says that we receive power to be His messengers. That's martyr. It's what they translate that out to be. And I think, okay. It's not a pride and arrogant. You check John and Peter and all those guys out prior to Pentecost. Jesus, all these other folks, they're going to leave you. But I ain't leaving. I love you more than the rest of them. I'm the apostle that Jesus loves. I'm going to be right here with you, Jesus. I ain't leaving. If any of these rest of them don't, man, I ain't never leaving you. I ain't never leaving you. We're just like that, me and Jesus. Pride, arrogance. After Pentecost, Peter and John walks up to a gate called Beautiful. Peter says, man, I ain't got no silver and gold, but what I have. He recognized who it was that was living in him because he'd seen him. He recognized him. That's what I'll give to you. Stand up and walk. after that, I mean, it was a big disturbance, right? I mean, it caused them a beating. Well, scorning. I think they scorned them for that, and then later on, they healed some more people, and then they got a beating for that. So it seems to me that Peter and John exactly had what they always wanted, right? Prior to Pentecost. It's like, look at me. I'm never going to leave you. Things are going to be happening at my hand. I'm right there with Jesus. I'm the one everybody's going to want to see. I'm going to have the biggest following. All that stuff that it seems that when you read the Gospels that was kind of their attitude at times. Check me out. I'm going to be the best. It's all about me. But after that, Peter and John was... Scripture says that they was honored to be counted worthy to be beaten and to take the scorning for this Jesus whom they've given their lives for. And that's the attitude that he's trying to get me to get into. This completely surrendered to Romans 8 or 12 talks about a brand new way of thinking, right? Not thinking the way the culture thinks. And the culture is, it's dark, right? But we're not a part of that. John tells us in 17 that we're not of the world. I'm not of the world. I live here. My citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, right? So if my citizenship's in heaven and I'm really not a part of this world, I'm just kind of here to do what? Bring pleasure to God. So it's not about just trying to survive and trying to do this stuff. It's a recognizing, it's recognizing who it is that lives in us and the power that He's given us. Not arrogant, but walk in all humility of who it is that lives in us. The God that spoke all this into existence now lives in you. The same power that rose Christ up from the grave lives in you. Don't take it lightly, Marty. Get with it. I mean, what are you waiting on? I mean, and it's not a works thing. I mean, you enter it all from rest, right? I mean, it's not a striving and an effort and I've got to do this, I've got to pray more, I've got to fast, got to do all these things. It's not about that list of things that you do. It's entering into this place of rest and letting Him wash over you in that time of intimacy, because everything is born out of a place of intimacy. Everything. Everything. I mean, you have babies. Intimacy. There's a time. Something comes out of this place of... The fruit comes from this place. Fruit comes from this place of Him loving us and us understanding that we are so loved by Him. And now our response is to love Him even the more. And our response is... You talk about God being generational. God loved Jesus. And what a revelation it is that God loves us with that same love, right? I mean, with the same love. The Father loves Christ. He loves me with that same love. Kind of cool to think about. So He's loving Jesus. Jesus is loving Him. Now Jesus is loving us. And now He's asked us to do what? Love. Pure and simple. It's not complicated. It's not anything. It's go love. Love your enemies. Passion calls it, go buy your enemy a lunch. When people, Linda mentioned it earlier about, you getting bad looks or people are saying stuff with, yes, it's kind of going to happen, right? But love holds no records of wrong. When you're bitten, you don't bite back. Not always easy, but that's the goal. You don't bite back. You love. You hear it a lot here is Romans 8 about, the earth is in groaning, waiting for us to take our place, right? Not only maybe is that our charge, but Paul talks about in Ephesians to get this. There's a mystery. He talks about it in Colossians, and the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He talks about in Ephesians that kind of on the same line of Romans 8. About the earth crying out, waiting for the sons and the daughters to take our place. Paul says in 3, right before it talks about love, right? It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father in heaven, who on everything is named after Him, that we would have strength within ourselves to come to understand this love that God has for us. Not just to know about it, but to actually experience it. For this reason, I want you to get how much you're loved." Because preceding that, for this reason is that this mercy and this grace is being revealed through the church. The mercies and the grace of our God is to be revealed through us. That's one of our assignments. So not only is the earth is waiting, but the world is waiting for us to get this love thing figured out to a place to where it moves us. If we're actually compelled by love to live a life that's not about us, we want to follow. But this is what a life following Him looks like. I'm going to read it one more time. And it's Mark 8, I didn't even move down. "If you truly want to follow me, you should completely at once disown your own life, and you should be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. And you continually surrender to my ways. For you let your life go for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, you will continue to experience true life." Hey, can y'all come sing Available? Thank y'all. You know, it's been a lot of rambling. I'm kind of like, I told Krista this morning, y'all know the mural, the butterfly up in town. Have y'all seen that? You know, the butterfly? I need to go. I don't do social media so much, you know. But anyway, I do have a Facebook and I do have a profile picture. But I need that butterfly. I need to go in front of it because I kind of scatter around. And maybe you kind of picked up. But the gist of it is this. The world will know us as followers of Jesus Christ, not by signs and wonders at our hands, not how well we do worship, not how many times we gather, not by how well you speak. The world will know that we are His followers by how well we love. How well we love. It sounds easy, but it's not. Because there's times that I want to bite back. I'm not kidding you. Jesus hanging on the cross, He says, "Forgive them, Father, because they really don't know what they're doing." The life that He's called us into is loving so well, becoming one so well that the world would know that God sent Jesus into the earth, period. John 17. The reason we exist is to bring God pleasure, period. Matthew 16, that's one of the scriptures that I did say would use. Talks about the church, the Ecclesia. That's Spanish. My Spanish coming out. My Spanglish. Ecclesia. Something else He's working on me on. Understanding just who it is that lives in me. And what is church? What is life? What is church? You know, you read books and you have this image of what the scene might look like. You know, the crucifixion, I had scenes of what I thought it might look like, and then Mel Gibson kind of destroyed that for me. He amped it up. I did not imagine the gravity and the severity of the beating that he took, which probably more depicts what truly happened more than what I thought might be happening. My image of church and my life in church is making it to a building. And then maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was about learning that we are the church, right? So that's kind of where I've been, is we are the church. And the fact of it is, I don't know that that even sums up what it really is. Passion calls it when he says, when Peter's confession, right, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Their response was, "Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets, somebody else other than who he was." And Jesus asked them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Man, Spirit revealed that to you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't." And on that revelation of that is what I'm going to build my ecclesia. Passion calls it a governmental authority, our assembly. It's governmental. It has nothing to do with a building. It has nothing to do with you. But when we're gathered together, he's given us permission to act. I mean, think about our Senate. And hear me, I'm not getting political. But think about our Senate. Think about the national, in D.C., and you can even get it down on a local level to Georgia. The Senate, the Congress. You walk in those halls, and those women and men sit in there that we've put in office to act on our behalf to create laws and to enforce those laws. That's what they do. Sometimes they get sidetracked, and we all will say yes and amen to that. But just as sure as they are sidetracked even now, the governmental assembly that Jesus gave his life for, we are so distracted and on point that we can't even understand who we've been created to be. We're so sidetracked because what he has done is given us authority. The scripture goes on to say that now you have authority. On this, I'm going to build my ecclesia. The gates of hell will not prevail. But then he goes on to say, I have given you the keys to this kingdom that we're a part of. Now you go, because you have authority. Now we're a part. You're a senator. You have a tag on the back of your Jeep that says senator. Because I know Bill Heath, that used to be the senator here in Georgia, and back on his tag it had, if you're a senator, maybe it has senator or a congressman or something on it. I don't know. Your special treatment. You're a senator, right? They don't have to think. I promise you, all the senators and congressmen and women that are sitting in D.C., they don't have to think for 1 minute that they're not a senator. They act with power. They act with authority. And now he's given us that same authority to loose and to bind whatever's going on in heaven right now. We have that same authority. So I'm not me, Marty, is not walking in the inheritance that Jesus paid for. So am I living a life worthy of the gospel? Absolutely not. My aim has been down here. But my aim is up here. Not boastful, not arrogant, with all humility. I want to live a life worthy of what he paid for. I want to be able to bind and loose. Not for me, but for his name's sake. Matthew says this, it says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light shine. But the only reason it shines is to bring God honor. The only reason. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your light, and from that place you give glory to God. It's the only reason. We have a tall task. But he wouldn't have put it before us if we couldn't walk in it. Are you going to have to, enter it in from rest and maybe have some discipline? Yeah, probably so. But is it worth it? Y'all can stand. And that's up to y'all. That's up to me. Is it worth it? Is it something worth giving your life for? Because that's what it requires. He said, it's going to cost you your life. But guess what? When it costs you your life, that's where you find true life. That's the meaning of this life. All we have to say is, I'm available. It's not a big decision. You just have to decide if you're available. Which life you want to live? Do you want to live the one that's self-absorbed and it's all about you and what you can get out of this life? Or do you want to surrender everything that you are and give your life to someone that gave everything he was for you? Paul says in Philippians, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider himself, or he didn't consider it to be something to hold on to be equal with God, which he was. But he didn't consider it something that was worth holding on to. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not giving it up. He gave it up. He gave up all of heaven. Not only did he give up all of heaven, he humbled himself, became a servant, walked as a man. God gave up everything he was to come walk as a man. Not only just to give up heaven and walk as a man, but then he gave up his life, the supreme sacrifice. So let this mind be in you. You give up all that you are to truly find true life and the meaning of it. And from that place, we'll give him honor and glory, right? Even if you do have a cool party. Even if the goal is moved. Because that's what we do. So anyway, that's kind of it. We'll go with it. But we're going to sing this song. So if you're available, just tell him you're available. That's what I'm going to do. Knock your socks off.
Follow where your spirit leads. And broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call. I am of me and more of you. I just want to see you move. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord.
Hey, if they're going to continue to play,
y'all don't mind. But if you need to go, dig out.
The apostles turned the world upside down, Scripture says. Those 12 guys, right? The early church turned it slam upside down. Now, with that being said, I would gather to say they influenced culture. Culture didn't influence them. So this is our charge. We're not being influenced by culture. Light always outshines darkness. Darkness, it's there. But light always outshines darkness. We light it up. Turn the world upside down for His name's sake. Amen. Madison, you don't mind lead us in prayer? Y'all can be dismissed. Oh, well, thank you. You don't mind?
Yeah, I don't mind. Dearly Father, we just thank You for this wonderful day they've given us. We thank You for the opportunity to come here. And we thank You for the opportunity to praise You freely without having to hide. And we pray that we will do that in our lives this week. We won't hide. We just thank You for all Your blessings. We thank You for Your protection. And we just thank You for what we've learned today. We pray that we can walk in it this week and for the weeks to come. We just thank You for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.